Turn your Bibles, please, if you will, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I do want to thank each and every one of you as a church family. It has been a long time, and I do want to thank each and every one of you for the way that you've been a blessing to both me and my family. The Lord has really used you guys in my life, every single one of you, and in my family's lives as well, and I know that to be the case. And I want to thank you guys for being there for us, for praying for us even now, and even holding our hands as we walk through some things. And there's a lot of individuals in this room that I look up to, and you guys are many of you are my heroes in the faith, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. That kind of brings us also to what we're going to talk about here tonight, because I've watched many of you go through difficult things, and you've been faithful, and you've stood strong, and you've walked the course that God has laid for you, even when it hasn't been easy. And that is an encouragement, and just really helped to shore up the timbers in my life and in the lives of my family. I know that to be the case. And as we look in John chapter 1, we see an individual here that is really a role model in my life, and I believe should be a role model in the life of every Christian. And looking out here this evening, I see there are no superheroes in this congregation. There's no superheroes here, and that's okay. And so when we look in God's Word, we don't find any superheroes there either. We find men and women that rose to the challenge that the Lord gave to them, that stood faithful, that stood strong, that served the Lord instead of themselves. You know, tonight I'd like to praise the Lord for everything that He's done in my life, for the strength that He's given me to stand and the mercy He gives me when I fall. And here tonight we're going to look at a man known as John the Baptist. And the title of tonight's sermon is going to be The Portrait of a Prophet. The Portrait of a Prophet. We'll go ahead and read John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 19 through, we're going to read a serious chunk here, so we'll just get into it. The Bible says, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.' And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose.' These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing." As we go to the Lord in prayer here, please be praying for me. I said to a few folks early this morning, I never used to have allergies, but starting last summer, I have got them, and I have got them bad. And this summer, I thought, you know, maybe I'll just eke out without them, and I thought that about 2 weeks ago. And so today, as I did some things, I was coughing nonstop. So I took some medicine that I know helps the allergies, but I am mentally asleep. All right, so the good news is I'm toned down a notch. Bad news is, my friend, you might be hollering at me to talk louder halfway through this sermon. So just pray for me about that too, if you think about it. So we'll go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here tonight and examine your word. Lord, I pray that you give us all something that we can learn from this great man of God, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to apply your word to our hearts and our lives, and we'll be better for it. Father, I pray that you guide my thoughts and my tongue, Lord, and may everything that happens here this evening be edifying and glorifying only to you. Thank you, Father, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, this is part of an expository series that I was working on through John and hope to continue in the future. But there is a previous sermon that came to this and kind of laid a little bit of groundwork about John the Baptist. And so just because it's informational and it kind of lays the groundwork and it was a blessing to me, I'm going to very quickly give you those points. All right. So we saw previously, which of course we didn't see, but something to think about. And when we look at John, as a brief outline. We saw that John was a witness for the word. That's what he identified himself as. That's what he was known as. He was a witness for the word, for the Son of God incarnate, for every thought of God, the very communication of the very being, character, nature, every aspect of God that could be committed, could be transmitted to us as human beings. He was the witness for that. We see in Luke chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, that this witness was promised. We see the promise of the witness. The prophet says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." We see that there was a promise of the witness. Second of all, there's a purpose for this witness. Verse 7 of actually John chapter 1. "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Every single one of us, by the way, has a purpose. And that purpose is to be a witness for Christ, just the same fashion. We see the passing of the witness. John chapter 3, verses 31. John says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And that's something we'll touch on later as well. But then we see the praising of the witness, and this is very important. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, Jesus Christ himself says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist." So that's the praising of the witness. You know, but today we're going to look at the portrait of a prophet. We're going to look a little bit at this man out of John chapter 1, verses 19 through 37. And we're going to see some biblical principles that we can emulate in our lives. I'm not talking about going in the desert and clothing ourselves with camel's hair and eating bugs and wild honey. All right, so that you guys can breathe a sigh of relief. That's not what we're talking about here tonight. But as we launch into this, we're going to see that we must follow the biblical example of John as we bear witness to Jesus. The first thing we see is John's confession. We find this in verses 19 through 20, and this is the record of John. "When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" John was a remarkable man. He had a charismatic personality. We don't know exactly what that was, but it was enough to draw crowds by the thousands from all throughout the Judean hillsides to come and hear this man preach. And here he had a remarkable opportunity to claim credit and fame for himself. And yet he confessed immediately that he was not the Christ. In John chapter 3, verses 26 through 20, that's obviously not correct. We find another parallel account a little bit later on. It says, "And they came unto John and said unto him, 'Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men are come to him.' John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.'" That's a very important thing to understand. There is nothing that you or I have that is worth anything in the first place, if it wasn't for the fact that it's come from the hand of God. Remember, James said that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If there is anything good in the life of Kyle Birchwell, it's not because of Kyle Birchwell. It's in spite of Kyle Birchwell. The same is true for everyone here. John says, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, and I must decrease." We see that John's disciples, they come to him and they say, "Hey, that guy that followed you in your preaching and came out of your ministry and was birthed on the skirts of your preaching and your baptizing, he's gaining people and he's bringing them to himself and he's getting a name." And in the Jewish culture, that would have been preposterous, and that would have been something that John would have taken a firm stand against had he been a Jewish rabbi. But unlike the rabbis, he wasn't concerned with himself. He was concerned with Christ. And so we see John's confession. He automatically says that I am not the man. I'm not the boss. I'm not the chief here. I'm just a voice. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a witness. John recognized without hesitation, even though Jesus says that he was the greatest man to be born of a woman. Notice it's something that he actually didn't even say about himself. This man immediately says, I have nothing that I have not received. This reminds me of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, when Paul writes, in these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it? We see here Paul was saying the same thing. He's applying that to each and every one of us here tonight, saying there's nothing that we have not received. And all throughout our circles and the history of movements and churches and leaders and great men of God, there are many that have fallen to pride. There are many that have, unlike John, they have raised up to themselves a following. They have fallen to their own ambitions and they have begun to follow their plan instead of Christ. They've lifted up their name instead of Jesus. And brethren, we must not fall prey to that.
Amen.
Do not make much of the messenger, but only of the message. The first thing we see here tonight in the life of John, in the portrait of the prophet, is John's confession. Second of all, we see John's identity. John's identity. Verses 21 through 24. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? They answered, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And we see John's introduction to himself. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John found his identity merely in the calling that God had given him. He didn't state his lineage. He didn't even give what tribe he was from. He never talked about, well, this is my father and this is my lineage throughout all of history, going back to the very first Jews that came out of Israel. We find none of that. We don't find any introduction by, this is what I do for a trade. This is who I am. This is where I preach. This is where I studied in Bible college. This is the mission board I'm a part of. This is the denomination that I associate with. He doesn't even give his name. He just says, I'm a voice. I'm just a voice. You know, it's so easy to be caught up in this world with its smoke and its mirrors and its fleeting visions of pomp and power and prestige. And we should not for a moment think that that does not leach into the doors of our churches. Or more closer to home, the doors of our hearts. You know, but Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 10, we won't read the whole thing, but Paul starts out saying that he has no confidence in the flesh. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Remember, he says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He goes on through a list, through a resume of things that his accomplishments and his heritage and who he was and what he had done. And then also the things that he had suffered for Christ. Our culture today, we make much of our suffering. You have to be a victim if you're going to be anybody in this culture. Whether you're an up-and-coming musician, you have to talk about all the struggles that you faced through as a child, or you know, someone, and even people in, all the way to Sunday school classes. Well, this is what I deal with on a daily basis, and I have such a hard life. And if you don't have a victim mentality today, then you don't have a shot at being anybody in the world. Well, Paul could have pulled the victim card. He even includes that, and yet he says, you know, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, why, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Everything about Paul's ministry, his drive, his determination, his ambition was for the cause of Christ, that he might gain Christ, that he may know Christ, that he may be found in him, not that he may be in the Sanhedrin. Not that he may be a Pharisee of the Pharisees, not that he may be of the stock of Israel, or not that he may be the greatest victim of them all, having endured so much for the cause of Christ, simply that he may be found in Christ. When they asked John, "Who are you?" he gave his identification in Christ. He said, "I am the voice." It's easy to find our identification in other things. It's the personal illustration. I find my identification in what I do. I didn't really realize how much I did that until I made a job change from being a department lead at Greenheck to, you know, being a stock boy at Walmart. And I had a lot of my coworkers from the previous job, and they came to me, and they'd see me at Walmart, and I still see them on a daily basis, and they're like, "Kyle, what are you doing? You're too good for this." And they start giving me job offers. I had a man offer me a position. He said, "I can give you a guaranteed position as a plant supervisor over here where I'm at. I need good people. I know who you are and what you do, and I'll take you." And I sat back there, and I went in the break room, and I'm just to be honest, I cried. Because nothing in life is going the way that I had previously thought it would go. And then I just also realized that I don't like what the Lord has provided for me to do. Even though it was clearly an answer to prayer, at the end of the day, I don't want to do that. And I realized I was finding my identity in who I am, with my job, what I do, what I'm in charge of, what I'm in control over, how I can get things done and this, that, and the other thing. And that's just a way that it seeps into my life. And I know the Holy Spirit will show you how it may seep into yours. But first of all, we see John's confession. He says, "I'm not the Christ." He recognized that there's nothing that we're given, well, nothing that we have not been given. Number two, we saw John's identity. His identity was in who he was to God, what God wanted out of him. You know, this world is not our home. We must be found in Christ. Thirdly, we see John's authority, verses 25 through 27. They asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" They want to know, well, if you're not any of these great people, then who do you think you are to come out here and teach like this? Who do you think you are to come out here and baptize, which, by the way, was a big deal. I don't have time to get into it, but the fact that he was baptizing, especially baptizing Jews, was a very big deal in the Jewish culture. And when they find out, oh, he's not any of these important people, on whose authority do you dare to do this? He says, "I baptize with water. But there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Rather than defend the fact that he didn't go to an accredited school, rather than defend his position, which was in a minority amongst the scholastic curriculum of the day, he just points it all back to Christ. This is especially poignant to us today because people want to know why you teach what you teach, why you're preaching what you preach. They want to know what authority, what school, what education, who are you, why can you say these things? And if we're not careful, we'll fall into the same trap. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." And when he concluded his letter to Titus, another one of his preacher boys, Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, he says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." you know why? Because Titus wasn't the authority. Timothy wasn't the authority. Paul himself was not the authority. It was this book that's the authority. Amen. It's God that's the authority. Amen. Right. And John understood that as well. That's how John, being really the redneck that he was, had no problem standing before them and saying, I can do this, because it wasn't his own authority. Now, Jude 9 tells us that Michael the archangel, literally one of the most powerful of all created beings, something that we cannot comprehend right now, even he did not cite his own authority in confrontation. Jude 9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And if that isn't a powerful enough example, let's think about Jesus Christ, the ultimate example. When he was drawn away into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, every single one of those temptations, Jesus never told Satan, do you know who I am? He never said, you know, I'm God, right? I made you. I could unmake you just like this. He never said that. Instead, he refers to God's word. He says, it is written, it is written, it is written. There's an important lesson for us here that must be learned. Our authority is not in the messenger, but in the message. And this message is not ours, but that of an almighty God. We've seen John's confession. He says, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the big shot. We've seen his identity. I'm the voice. This is who I am to God. This isn't who I am to myself or who I am to you. Or I'm not searching for my self-identity, which is a big thing these days. He says, this is who I am to God, and this is all you need to know. We've seen his authority. It's in Jesus Christ. Number 4, we see John's sermon. What is he preaching? Verses 29 through 30. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John's sermon was simple. It's been everything else. It's been the answer to all of the other points as well. Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 18, we have Paul writing. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. They were asking him, hey, you're a rabbi, you're a teacher. Why don't you baptize? Why don't you gather a following? Why don't you bring people behind you? Make a foundation of doctrine that people all throughout history will look at you and say, well, the great rabbi, Dr. Paul, said this. That's really what the question was when they asked him why he didn't baptize. He says, God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Just a side note, and I may get in trouble with this, but it's kind of amazing how the power of Christ seems to suffer as the wisdom of men is expounded. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verses 23 through 24, he says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. John's sermon was simply Christ. Paul's sermon was simply Christ. Whenever we read a sermon in God's word, whether it was Peter or Timothy or any of these things, it's always Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He's reminding the church at Corinth, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the wisdom of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Remember when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, his last letter that we know of anyways. What did he tell his preacher boy? He didn't say get another degree. He didn't say go sign up with the Sword of the Lord. He didn't say, you know, make a blog, make a website, write books. He said, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. John's sermon. He was called to preach the sermon of Christ. And so are we here tonight. Remember, that's the only reason why we're left on this earth. It's the reason why we have the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. What was accompanied by the coming of the Holy Ghost? He said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Moving along, number 5, John's record, verses 32 through 34. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. We may be kind of nitpicking just a little bit and saying, well, this isn't John's sermon, this is John's record, but it's not just for an outline, it's for the purpose of the fact that you can preach one thing and give testimony to another. And that wasn't the case in John's life. That comes from the fact that when you read through the Gospels and you look at the accounts of Jesus being baptized, John the Baptist was privy to something that nobody else saw. Remember, those around just heard a sound as if it had thundered. But to John, in John's life, something personal, something great happened, and he shared it. You know, John bare record to others of what God had done personally in his own life. This is what God showed me. This is what God has done for me. You know, you and I have a record that we are recording, whether we're aware of it or not. In Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, we find Paul and Barnabas in Iconium, and they both went into the synagogue of the Jews, and we see that the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. And what do they say? Said the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. It was their testimony with which they were able to minister. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4, we'll just look at verse 5 and 6 here. This is Paul speaking. Well, we'll read verse 4. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Why? That in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. These believers, it was obvious that God was at work in their lives. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. You know, the testimony of Christ is to be made evident in the life of every believer. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, Paul writes, For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, not because we're anything or we've done anything, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul says, look, you have been given something by God, and it is so that your light can shine. It is so your testimony can be made manifest before men. No, we're not to be ashamed to show and tell others about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's easy to do. It can be as simple as the fact that this is something the Lord rebuked me about. Somebody saying, hey, look, I'm sorry that I heard about your dad. And I mean, anything can happen. You know, I've seen it. And having an opportunity to say, yeah, God can do anything. But instead walking away from that conversation and realizing I missed an opportunity to be a witness. I missed an opportunity to bear record to Christ. And our lives are filled with those opportunities. I think if you ask Pastor or Pastor Camp or even Dr. Beal or anyone else here that has done a lot of preaching, had a public ministry, and ask them, well, what is the vast majority of your ministry that's going to show up before God? If we had a pie chart of the life of Pastor Davidson as it appears before God, how much of that is actually pulpit time? I think he would tell you, really, it's going to be very, 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 very small. Because most of what he does for Christ is in the record that he bears. It's in the life that he lives, not necessarily in the sermons that he writes. We've seen John's confession. We've seen John's identity. We've seen John's authority. We've seen John's sermon. We've seen John's record. Finally, we'll see John's success. Verses 35 through 37. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God! And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John's success was realized when he persuaded others to follow Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. We are reminded, for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? This is Paul reminding the church of Thessalonica that his success was in the fact that they were following Christ. Paul's goal in ministry was to present every man perfected in Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 through 29, it says, Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. It says, My success is in the fact that I have preached and taught every man that the Lord has given to me, that I could perfect them in Christ. We are reminded of the fact that John would tell his disciples, and he must increase, but I must decrease. He understood the fact that his success was found only in when others followed Christ, not him. Like him, our success as witnesses and record bearers for Christ will only be realized in pointing others to Christ. I don't know how long I've gone. I've, for some reason, thought there was a clock on the back wall, and it doesn't appear that there is. No, but in conclusion, we see that like John, we've seen the portrait of a prophet, a man that Jesus Christ himself, that God is on written record as having said, this is the greatest man to have ever been born. And as we look at his life, we don't see superpowers. We don't see some great man that none of us could ever aspire to be like. We don't see any super serum. We don't see any of those things. Instead, we see six things about his life that you and I can excel in those areas as well. You and I can grow in these areas. You and I can follow Christ, be more like Christ, be found and perfected in Christ in these six areas. We, like John, must confess that we're nothing apart from Christ. If you think you have something to offer God, then you don't. You know, we, like John, must find our identity in who we are to God. Not who I am to the world, not who I am to myself, not go on a tour of self-exploration and self-discovery. I need to find out who I am to God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. I'm a witness for my Christ, whether I am a good one or a bad one. How about this? I'm a son of God. We, like John, must find our authority in the giver of the message. It didn't originate with me, and if it originated with me, then it's garbage. It's amazing how you're less offended, by the way, when the message is ill-received, when you realize that it's not your message. We, like John, must preach the power of Christ and him crucified. That should be the only sermon. We, like John, must bear record to the power of God in our lives. He told the world about something that only he saw. and you and I are called to do the same. And finally, we, like John, must find our success in pointing others to Christ. We must follow the biblical example of John as we bear witness to Christ.